Hello everyone, what's up? Welcome once again to the Jace Hironka podcast. We are talking about today four films. You know, we're talking about four films. First one is the Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, starring of course Brendan Fraser. And the second movie we're talking about is Mr. Vampire. Now, many of you don't know this movie. It's actually a wild vampire movie from China, either from China or from Hong Kong. It's wild. You know, let's talk about it later. And the third movie we're talking about is Angels and Demons. This is, of course, the movie adaptation of the Dan Brown novel. And the last movie we're talking about today is The Secret. Yeah, The Secret, which is actually... It was actually shot as a real estate. It's shot like a documentary, it's a documentary style, you know, self-help film that, you know, it actually, I would say, led the way of the law of attraction craze, the law of attraction wave that swept, I would say, the entire world back in the middle of the 2000s. So we're talking about four films today, but there's something I just want to tell you guys and you girls. As you may notice, I do not have any sponsors on my podcast, but there are three ways you can actually support me. The first way is direct donation on PayPal. Any amount would be a big help to me at this point. I really appreciate it. And however, if you donate $20 or higher, I will allow you to recommend the movie, which I will put out in an upcoming episode. So there, any donations, $20 and up, you can recommend the movie to me, and then I will, you know, put it as part of the Jace Podcast episode in the upcoming episode. The second way you can support me is if you shop online on AliExpress. If you do not know AliExpress, they offer very cheap products. I'm talking about $1 to $5 products, and you can even buy wholesale. For example, their top-selling products are like iPhone tempered glass, necklaces, teeth whitening powder, micro USB cables, you know, stuff like that. Like, sort of cheap stuff, cheap items, but things that would improve your life, like that would really make your life better. This is of course AliExpress. It's a company owned by Alibaba, you know, the Jack Ma, the richest guy in China. So, you know, just you can shop online on AliExpress. I'm gonna put a link on the description part of this episode. And for all my listeners in the US, the United States, shop on Walmart and take advantage of their next day delivery service. So it's, you know, definitely you're gonna get your product next day. So it's a next day delivery service, and also you can take advantage of the other services of Walmart, like grocery pickups, grocery deliveries, all of the items in Walmart. You can go ahead and shop that. So, you know, again, for these two merchants, AliExpress and Walmart, I'm gonna put a link on the description part of this podcast episode. And Walmart and AliExpress are actually not sponsors. I am just affiliated with them. I only earn money if you guys and you girls buy something. So go ahead, use the link on the episode description and shop online. So anyway, let's go to the episode. First movie we're going to talk about today is The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. This is, of course, the third installment of Brendan Fraser's The Mummy films. And this is, again, one of those movies that I have a written version of the review. So I'm gonna read parts of my written review. And let's see, you know, I wrote this 10 years ago. Let's see if I still agree with myself with what I wrote 10 years ago. So, mummies are usually Egyptian corpses brought back to life. In The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, I was excited when I saw the trailer for the first time. The movie was set in China. This time, the mummies are terracotta warriors made of rocks. The main villain is Jet Li, so I expected a lot of action-packed martial arts sequences. Given all the build-up, did the movie live up to the trailer? Let's find out. The plot is, so the Dragon Emperor Han, who is Jet Li, is a heartless warrior. He wants to be immortal so he can send his right-hand man, General Ming Guo, to find Ziyuan, a witch who knows the secret to immortality. So Emperor Han, Jet Li, General Ming, and the witch are involved in a love triangle war. Ziyuan cast a curse on the Dragon Emperor and his army. They are trapped inside the terracotta shells. In China, 1946. So this is when the movie was set in 1946. So that's those are the years right after World War II. Alex O'Connell, played by Luke Ford, discovers the Dragon Emperor's tomb with the help of his archaeology professor Roger Wilson, played by David Calder. Meanwhile, a Chinese gem called Eye of the Shangri-La is assigned to the parents of Alex, who are Brendan Fraser and Maria Bello, so they can bring it back to the Chinese people. But when the O'Connells got together in China, they found out Professor Wilson is a traitor who works with a paramilitary group that wants to put the Emperor back to life using the Shangri-La. The Dragon Emperor came back to life, so that's Jet Li. He wants to conquer the world and he has the power to control all the five elements, namely earth, air, fire, water, and wood. So all in all, I mean, if you know, if just listening to the summary, to the concept, it seems like a good film. But you know, we're gonna find out here that there are actually a lot of imperfections in this movie. There's a lot of rooms for improvement, and I enjoyed it when I watched it the first time. Even if I watch it now, I'm still gonna enjoy it. But you know, there's just a lot of potential in this movie, and I think they are nowhere near to the really to the potential of the great movie from this film. So you know, it was for me a missed opportunity. But here we go. So all Brendan Fraser's mummy movies have had mixed critical reviews. So it has mixed reviews from the critics. This movie is no different. Let's look at the details. The story is unique and interesting. It had a lot of potential to be a classic action-adventure film. The first act, especially the flashback scene set in China, made you feel this will be a great movie. The trap scenes inside the Emperor's tomb with the mysterious ninja made you feel like you're watching an Indiana Jones movie set in China. You get really hyped up. The Emperor comes back to life as a statue, constantly chipping off, revealing a burned skin inside. What follows is an awesome car chase in 1940s China. You can almost feel things will just get better. After the first hour, things just went downhill with dozens of corny jokes and cartoonish accents, action scenes. I don't think it happened on purpose. The movie started Indiana Jones, exciting. Then the second hour has the storyline of a cartoon episode. So, you know, you guys now find out that I was a pretty cheesy writer, also a pretty harsh critic when I was, when I wrote this, I was probably either a teenager or right after my 20th birthday, so I was young and also I was already harsh even back then. The Dragon Emperor, a lot of wasted potential. Emperor Hans Jet Li can control all the five elements and had the power to transform into any monster he desires. Yeah, any monster he desires. So imagine this. Jet Li, in this movie, he's an emperor. He's obviously a talented martial artist. If you are a fan of action and martial arts, you should definitely Google all the Jet Li movies and just kind of watch them one by one. It's you're gonna have a great time. But here, he has martial arts talent. He has the power to control all the five elements. And then he can transform to any monster. He's basically a Marvel villain, but you know, let's see how they sort of screwed it up. Yet there was probably only one scene where the Emperor used fire and a few scenes where he used ice. The Emperor never clearly showed his wood and wind powers. They could have added an earthquake or a heavy storm-like scene showcasing the destructive powers of the Emperor. Instead, they seem to be more focused on the corny jokes. I don't necessarily mind that as long as the movie is good. So it's kind of like if you watch the Marvel movies, especially the Marvel movies today, they do have a lot of jokes, and comedy is very sensitive. For me, it's like there's a lot of people who don't really laugh at any comedy things, especially if it's a comedy from an action movie, like a Marvel movie. But I think people will not mind that if the movie, the overall quality of the film is good. The problem with this one is the overall film quality is not really bad, but it's so-so. It's a mediocre film. And if you add a inconsistent and mediocre film to a, you know, dialogue with corny jokes, then, you know, a lot of people would probably not be happy. So, for the comedy antics, the movie is not particularly funny. However, the subplot is cute. When Alex's parents meet their son's crush, Lynn, played by Isabella Leong. So, this is a... One of the interesting things they did here is, this time, Brendan Fraser and his wife in this movie, they already have a kid. And, in fact, the kid is already a grown man. He's already a college student. He's already digging mummies like his parents. And he's actually starting to fall in love. So here, Rick and Evelyn said they doubt that her magic dagger can destroy the Emperor. Because the storyline here is the love interest of their son, who is Lynn, is that she believes the magic dagger that she has can literally kill the Emperor. So it's... However, they were just a smoke and mirrors in denial to the obvious attraction between their son and Lynn. I just thought subplots like this are interesting. It adds entertainment value to the movie and keeps the viewers interested. It also makes movie characters relatable. It shows their human side. I still kind of agree with that, with what I wrote 10 years ago. But, of course, even if the subplot here is excellent, and it's not in many ways, the main storyline should be what you nail, especially in sort of a high-budget summer blockbuster like this one. And obviously, the main story, the high concept, the mummy and the action and Jet Li and, you know, he's a monster and also a general, all of that, they sort of just did a mediocre job with that. And that's obviously, you know, sort of disappointing for both the critics and the fans of this movie and the franchise. So at the end of the day, this movie is not great, but it's entertaining and a lot of people will like it. I honestly liked it. Action and adventure fans should go see it. It would not blow your mind. However, there will be scenes that you will definitely enjoy. It's like watching a lazy Spielberg movie. The kind of movie you want to watch with your family on a Saturday afternoon. And I think I said it perfectly back in 2009. This is like a lazy This is like if Steven Spielberg was lazy and uninspired. This is the kind of movies he would make. Also, if he doesn't have the budget. But of course, we all know what Steven Spielberg can do with a couple of actors and a fake shark. We've all seen Jaws, and it's still amazing. Like, Spielberg is one of those directors that you can give him very little budget, and he'll probably create, you know, one of the greatest movies of all time. Anyway, I rated this movie at 86% back in 2009. I actually think that's quite high. So, Jay's ratings for The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor is 70%. Yeah, I'll give it a 70%. And I am actually the cool professor who gives high grades because Rotten Tomatoes actually gave them 13%. IMDb gave them a score of 5.2 out of 10. And Metacritic gave them a score of 31%. If you look at the financials, though, the budget of this movie is $145 million, but the box office is $401 million. So, you know, not bad. They actually made the money back. But again, I think it could have been a better movie, or like the budget was $145 million, which is, I believe that was quite high. Maybe it's not the budget that's problem. Maybe it's the director. Having said that, let's actually research on the director of this movie. It's John Cohen. He is, you know what, let's research a bit on John Cohen movie. Okay, so the director of The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor is actually not John Cohen, but Rob Cohen, and I look at some of his films. The first Fast and Furious was his movie, Triple X by Vin Diesel. Also, of course, The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, Alex Cross. He is not really known for making good movies. He made the Triple X sort of reboot with Ice Cube. He's not known for good movies, okay? So, that actually explains a lot why this movie was not that great. But anyway, you know, I enjoyed it, and, you know, maybe a lot of people enjoyed it. It made $401 million out of a $145 million budget. So, you know, a lot of people probably watch it, and obviously I did watch it. So, you know, if you think you would like it, go ahead and watch it. At your own risk, of course. So, the next movie we are talking about is Angels and Demons. So, this is, of course, the Dan Brown adaptation of his novel. This, of course, is still a Robert Langdon movie. So, that's, of course, Tom Hanks. So, here it is. Dan Brown is a great writer and a real page-turner. His novels are controversial and revolves around symbols, codes, and conspiracy theories. Angels and Demons was the first Dan Brown novel I read, and it blew my mind. After seeing the Da Vinci Code movie, I did not expect much, though, from Angels and Demons. So, I still sort of agree with myself in 2009. I don't think Dan Brown is a fantastic writer, like, you know, like J.K. Rowling or Stephen King is. But he is a page-turner, and of course, he's a legit bestseller. And, you know, anytime he would, I'm pretty sure the next book he would release would be another New York Times bestseller. So, you know, he's a commercial fiction winner. So, you know, if you have time, you can go ahead and read his books. You can download the audiobook or whatever, or you can just go ahead and watch the movie adaptations of Dan Brown novels. So anyway, the plot of Angels of Demons is, the movie began with the Roman Catholic Church mourning the death of Pope Pius the 16th. Vatican prepares for the conclave, so that's the electing of the new pope. The next scene cuts to the European Organization of Nuclear Research, which is actually CERN, C-E-R-N. I don't know how that actually becomes CERN, but, you know, anyway. Where the scientists are carefully examining three vials of antimatter. An unknown assassin kills a Father Silvano Bentivoglio, who supervises the research and steals the vials. The Illuminati also kidnap the Preferiti, the four most likely candidates to be Pope, threatens to kill one of the four priests every hour and destroy the Vatican by midnight. The Vatican asked the help of symbologist Robert Langdon, so that's Tom Hanks, from Harvard to help solve the case. Langdon and CERN scientist Vittoria Vetra, played by Ayelet Zurer, together with the Vatican Task Force, had to solve the case using clues from rare Illuminati literature before time runs out. So, Angels and Demons is just a few inches better than the Da Vinci Code. Ron Howard did a good visual presentation representing the novel on film. It is as if Ron Howard copy-pasted the reader's imagination and translated it into film. However, that's all it is. The movie is just a good presentation. Ron Howard did a great job and made all the scenes look exciting and memorable, which could have easily been dragging and dull. Despite Howard's great directing, the movie had a number of flaws. Angels and Demons should have been a tension-filled, high-caliber, and action-packed ride. Another thing, although Howard did a good job visually presenting the movie, he did not capture the feelings, the mysteries, the exciting revelations like the novel did. There were a lot of scenes that could have been more exciting. For instance, in Robert Langdon's first scene, when he was informed about the Illuminati and the missing priests, that scene could have been much more sensational. What happened was just a bland scene where a guy was showing a piece of paper to Tom Hanks. Also in this scene, the Illuminati print was an ambigram. Again, that scene could have been sensationalized rather than just Tom Hanks flipping the paper upside down. The assassin was the biggest downside of Angels and Demons. The assassin should be a mysterious psychopathic killer. In the movie, he was just a regular assassin who acted like he was in a low-budget movie. See that? I was pretty harsh back in 2009. I was the strict professor because I was still in college. And, I already finished college by 2009, but, you know, it was like I was a fresh graduate. But, of course, I just came from some really strict professors, so no wonder I was actually pretty strict back then. And I was, that's a direct quote from me. He was just a regular assassin who acted like he was in a low-budget movie. Anyway, we never felt the presence and the aura of a religious villain. It was a bad portrayal. Silas was a stronger character in the Da Vinci Code movie. The problem with Silas, he was a great character and acted out well in a below average movie. So I haven't seen this movie in a while. If I remember it correctly, the guy who played the assassin, who is, there's always that one character in the Dan Brown novels that there's always this one sort of vigilante hitman, and he's always mysterious. He always has like a weird nickname. Like in here, he's called the assassin. In Angels and Demons, we have of course Silas, and he always just have that character. And I believe that character is very important because it's like it's not the main villain, but it's the counterpart of Dan Brown. He's like a religious, a sort of religious, mysterious assassin, and whoever's given that role should be very, should have very strong acting, should have very strong gravitas. Maybe even a veteran actor should play roles like that. And I remember in this movie, the guy who played that role was, you know, didn't really have a lot of charisma, didn't have a lot of, gravitas in his acting, and that, you know, dragged down the movie. And it didn't help that Tom Hanks was like, Tom Hanks in this Dan Brown movies, he's just not really acting. like I don't know, maybe he doesn't care, maybe he's not a fan of mysteries and, you know, religious thrillers like this, but it was as if he's not feeling it. Every time he's playing a Robert Langdon, it's like he's in 20% of his acting powers. So I don't know. It's just that's how Tom Hanks acts in this movie. So anyway, I don't want to give any spoilers. So I'll be very careful. The deaths of the Preferiti should be intense and creepy, with references to the four elements: earth, wind, fire, and water. So that's a great theme. Seems to be a theme of this episode. I didn't intend it that way, but this movie has references to the elements, and the first movie has references to the elements. The next movie, I don't think it has, because it's about vampire. The next movie we're talking about, The Secret, has a little bit of references to elements, because The Secret believes that there's like a... Anyway, we'll talk about that later. In other words, they should be murdered using the elements. These deaths were intense and scary in the novel, and it should have been the same for the movie. However, the murders in the film were bland and mediocre. It looked like scenes from Bones or CSI episodes. I'm not sure, but it felt like the movie was rushed. Were they trying to hit a deadline? No wonder Hanks was running all the time. See that? I was pretty sarcastic and strict, you know. Young Jay's pretty sarcastic and strict. So, in conclusion, the movie was mostly mediocre with very few entertaining scenes. There were some scenes that looks like obvious CGI. However, the editing and the creative camera work did the trick to make it a bit entertaining. I recommend the movie for Dan Brown fans only. Angels and Demons is exciting while you're watching it. Afterwards, the taste of popcorn and soda is more memorable than this movie. Yeah, that was a quote from me in 2009. See that? Before I go, did you notice how European Organization for Nuclear Research was abbreviated into CERN? CERN. I googled it, and it really is CERN in real life. That's kind of weird. Oh, okay. See that? And back in 2009, I rated this movie at 50%. I still kind of agree with that, you know. Jay's ratings for Angels and Demons, 50%. Rotten Tomatoes rated it at 37%. IMDb actually gave them a pretty high score, 6.7 out of 10, which I believe is too high. I think the grade of... Let's see what Metacritic gave them. So Metacritic gave them 48%. So I think it's in that ballpark, you know, in the 50% and lower. I think giving it a 6.7, that's almost a 7 out of 10 that IMDb gave. They actually gave it a pretty high score. And again, if we look at the financials, though, the budget was $150 million, and they made $485.9 million in this movie. So, you know, I can't really, you know, compare. I mean, I still stand by with my opinions. I don't like it still, but it obviously made great money, and no wonder Dan Brown movies are still being made today. And now I actually want to watch the latest Dan Brown movie, which is, I believe, it's either Inferno or Lost Symbol or whatever. So that's it, you know, Angels and Demons. Read the book, it's better. And I'm really excited to talk about this next movie. It's a movie that has a special place in my heart because it's the inspiration of sort of my one. I mean, let's just go with the review. Mr. Vampire inspired me to conceptualize and outline the very first realistic movie idea I've ever had. More than inspiration, it triggered me to pursue a career in filmmaking, which makes this movie very special to me. This movie received critical and commercial success in China back in the 80s. However, I think it deserves greater commercial and critical success all over the world. It's an awesome movie. Just go ahead and watch it. So, for the plot of Mr. Vampire, this is a movie about a Jiang Shi. a Chinese zombie vampire that moves by hopping with its arms outstretched. So it can only move by jumping. So it's like, so it's the vampire. So imagine a zombie with its arms outstretched, and it moves forward by jumping. So if it's chasing you, it's basically jumping around like a rabbit, and like chasing you by jumping. So it's like I said, it's a pretty crazy movie. So in this movie, the vampire cannot see you if you don't breathe. A Taoist priest used Chinese magic ink to prevent a dead body from becoming a Chinese vampire. However, that did not work, and the vampire is out to kill everyone. How to balance kung fu, comedy, and horror? Mr. Vampire is a unique gem. It is a perfect balance of horror, comedy, and martial arts action. There is nothing like it. What's great about it is they did not force a two-hour movie, because this movie is only 90 minutes long, so that's 1.5 hours. Even if they had a lot of material to work around with. I actually wish the movie is 2 hours long, but I guess they were really going for the balance of horror, comedy, and action. They did not want to waste another 30 minutes with corny jokes or scenes that will make the movie dragging. The bad second act syndrome. The movie is packed with a good story, stupid characters, stupid cops, jumping vampires, a female ghost who knows kung fu and has superpowers, and the creme of the crop, impressive kung fu and action scenes. And when I say stupid characters and stupid cops, I actually mean that in a good way. This movie is truly excellent, truly funny. I actually am not giving this enough credit and enough justice. Go ahead and look for this movie, Mr. Vampire. It's a Chinese movie. Look for it, find it, and watch it. If you haven't seen Mr. Vampire, like I wrote in 2009, if you haven't seen Mr. Vampire, watch it today or on the nearest upcoming weekend. It is highly recommended to watch with your family, friends, or even just alone on your own. I guarantee you will love it, unless you are a hopping zombie vampire with arms outstretched who can't see people if they don't breathe. GJ's ratings is 95%. And I still agree with that. Jay's ratings, even today, for Mr. Vampire is 95%. So, pretty wild, because I also, in a previous episode of this podcast, I believe it's either the first or the second episode, you know, go ahead and check. And check on my podcast, on the list of all my episodes. I actually rated Avengers Infinity War 95%. So I rated this. I'm standing by it. I'm rating this movie 95%. The same rating I gave to Avengers Infinity War. So, Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see what Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have a score for it. But the audience of Rotten Tomatoes rated it at 87%. IMDb rated it at 7.5 out of 10. And Metacritic didn't score this movie. As for the financials, they had a budget of 8.5 million Hong Kong dollars. And the box office was 20 million, around 20 million Hong Kong dollars. So that's not bad. So of course, 8.5 million budget, 20 million made in a box office, and to translate that into dollars, 1 million. It's like they have a budget of $1 million, and they made $2.5 million income from it. So like I said, it was a commercial. It's considered a commercial and critical success, and also now we know that it's pretty cheap to make a movie in China in the 80s, because this movie was made, let's go ahead and check the year, 1985. See that? Where I wasn't even born back then. Is anyone of you listening to this one born already in 1985? Huh, see that? It's a classic. It's a classic movie that was made before we were even born. So go ahead and watch it. Mr. Vampire, 95%. I'm rating it with the same score as Avengers Infinity War. Go ahead, look for it, watch it. It's excellent. The last movie we're talking about today is, of course, The Secret. This was, of course, a book written by Rhonda Byrne. They also made a sort of self-help documentary-style film about it. And I actually titled my original article, this was 2012, I wrote, "It's the Secret Law of Attraction, Real or Fake?" So, let's go ahead. The Secret is actually a self-help film which used a documentary format. This led to the wave of the law of attraction and positive thinking mindset all over America and many parts of the world. The philosophy behind The Secret is said to have been around for hundreds of years and is the key to ultimate personal happiness and abundant wealth. Celebrity endorsements or a groundbreaking film? The Secret, both the book and the DVD, became bestsellers and were talked about in offices, schools, on the TV, the street, just about anywhere. Many people, mostly from the mainstream press, criticized The Secret and credited the franchise's success from celebrity endorsers like Oprah, Larry King, and Ellen DeGeneres. And just to put it into perspective, the budget of the movie, this was actually a Australian-American documentary film. The budget that they put for this was $3.5 million, and it made a box office of $65.6 million. So $3.5 million budget, creating $65.5 million, and this was not even released in cinemas. This is, of course, DVD sales. So it was really a groundbreaking success. For me, what made The Secret awesome is the filmmaking style. They did a great job visual presentation of how energy and brainwaves, which are unseen elements, move when you have thoughts and intentions. I love the scenes where the film shows a shockwave of energy exploding all over the earth and the universe when any person dreams, intends, or just thinks about something. Another thing that works is the reenactment scenes that show different ways on how successful people use The Secret. Sample scenes include a guy imagining himself looking at the mirror and a guy with the pictures of his dream house, his dream car, and a big bank account. So The Secret, can one film really change your life? Everybody talks about The Secret and the Law of Attraction. Some believe it and some don't. Is it real or is it fake? I have a friend whose entire life principle is based on The Secret. It's as if this is his Bible, and it works for him. From humble beginnings, he hit it big, selling real estate. However, I also know a millionaire self-help speaker who laughs at the law of attraction. This shows how the entire world have mixed feelings with it. And as for me, the law of attraction is just one of the many principles on living life. It's like a mobile phone app. I use it when I need it, but my world does not revolve around it. The Secret gave me a way of thinking that you can be greater than who you are today. It's like caffeine for your ambitiousness. It's like a speed boost in a racing video game. It will push you, but you still need to put it in a lot of work just to reach the finish line. Watch it. It's only 1.5 hours long. I mean, just think about how many hours you spent on senseless S-words. How many bad movies have you seen? The average movie is 2 hours long. The Secret is only 1.5 hours. Who knows? This could be the first step to be the person you've always wanted to be. And ask me my opinion on The Secret, Law of Attraction, and things like this. Of course, positive thinking is very important. In fact, I would always choose to be more positive and more optimistic than being negative. And I've also been through a lot already in life. I'm already 10 years in the sort of working world, you know, 10 years from the time I, at this recording of this podcast, I'm already 10 years from the time I graduated college. I had, you know, massive success in my career. I also have equally massive failures in my career. And this movie, actually, this documentary book, whatever, I read it and I also watched it. It actually had a big impact on my life. I learned about it when I was a teenager, when I was in college. And I believe my successes and my failures are, you know, something that could be traced back from this, from the Law of Attraction, from The Secret, because the things that I achieved in my life, I couldn't have achieved that without having the belief that, you know, the, you know how they stereotype millennials, like they say that three millennials are like, you know, anything is possible, like that's how we think. That's I think that really came from The Secret. We have that sort of very strong belief that we can achieve anything. And of course, that's kind of true, but also it's kind of not true, you know. Everything is possible. You can't just wake up one day and say that you want to be a pop star, or you want to play for the NBA, you know, or be the CEO of the million-dollar company or whatever. You have to really balance reality and positive thinking. So the positive thinking is sort of like that's your spirit, you know. You're always positive, you're always looking forward that things will be great, that even if things are hard now, things will be awesome in your life one day. And but also you're gonna have to put in the work, you know. You're gonna have to really, like right now I'm really ramping up on my podcasting, on my on videos. I actually do dance videos on Instagram. You can go ahead and search my name on Instagram and Facebook and even TikTok. And you know, I'm really ramping up producing this content. And I'm actually sort of steering my career in a different direction. I want to be a full-time, you know, full-time entertainer, full-time podcaster. I want to produce those dance videos full-time. And it's not going to be easy. And, you know, in the beginning, which is, I'm sort of still in the beginning right now, monetizing will not be easy. And I'm going to have to put in work in, you know, like a side job, in so that I can, you know, survive and finance myself while I do these things, while I do the things that I, so that I can pursue the things that I love. So, you know, that's how life is. You know, you have to, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, I mean, if you want to be also an entrepreneur, influencer, an artist who actually earns money, I highly recommend Gary Vaynerchuk. Follow him on social media, on YouTube. He always talks about what he says, clouds and dirt. So clouds is your mindset, your spirituality, your positive thinking, all that. And then dirt is the actual work. It's, you know, literally, you know, what career do you have now? It's literally folding the clothes for your t-shirt, for your small t-shirt business, or like studying for your studying influencer marketing if you want to be an influencer, mastering your craft if you are an artist. So he puts it in that perspective. You know, you're gonna have to put in clouds and dirt if you want to succeed in this life. And for everyone here who's listening, who's maybe younger than me, maybe even older than me, if you are still, you know, in that path, if you're still looking for something in your life, you know, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worthwhile. You know, just stay positive and put in the work. That's the two things that I'm going to say, you know. Stay positive and put in the work. And as for the ratings, I would, just because of the message, just because of the influence that it had on a lot of people and me personally, I would rate the secret at a score of I put it at 90% just because it has a strong influence in me. Let me go ahead and check if Rotten Tomatoes actually has. So Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have a score for it, but the audience of Rotten Tomatoes gave The Secret 73%. IMDb gave it 5.6 out of 10, and Metacritic doesn't have a score. And so, you know, go ahead. If you haven't seen this, you know, just watch it. It will inspire you, but of course, you're still going to have to put in the work to improve your life. And that's it, you know. Once again, thank you guys and girls for listening to this podcast. And again, the three ways you can help me is by direct donation on PayPal. And second way is you can shop online on AliExpress to find very cheap good deals. And the third way, exclusive only for residents of the United States of America, shop on Walmart. All three of these will have links on the podcast episode on the description part. And also, wherever you're listening this, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, of course, Anchor. I don't know where else this... I mean, I've seen my podcasts everywhere. I don't really know all of the websites and all of the podcast broadcasting sites that have my podcast. So it's really streaming everywhere. So wherever you're listening to this, go ahead and give me 5 stars. It's really a big help to me. And, you know, that's it for today. See you once again. See you in the future, you know. See you once again for another episode of the Jace Podcast. Have a great week ahead. Bye-bye. Mwah-mwah. I love you all. Thank you for listening.